Joining me now on Our Town is Joshua Green. Not only is he a city councilor, he is also a photo restoration guru. And he has brought along today, of course, you can't see it. I get to see it. You guys don't. Is The Essential Marilyn Monroe by Milton H. Green. It's the latest book, a culmination of love, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me here. Thank you, KCST, for always supporting everything we do in the community. It really means a lot to me.
Well, we're glad to have you here because this is something timeless here. But I want to go back before the book because obviously this took a lot of work. This is a lot of years worth of work here, like from your childhood, most likely, right?
I think the old joke is I started out as a child.
There you go.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I mean, my father was a successful New York photographer and on assignment with Look magazine. In 1953, he was introduced to Marilyn. And they struck up a personal relationship. And at that time of her life, she was going through some difficulty. She wasn't happy with her arrangement with the Hollywood studio. Daryl Zanuck from 20th Century Fox, basically. And this was one of the last of the slave contracts, which is what they used to call them back in the day, which is basically where you are signed on with the motion picture studio and they control everything about your life, your career, your how much you need, how you need to look, how much you need to weigh.
You're their property.
You are their property. Yeah.
And they could loan you out to other studios and you couldn't say anything about it. You just had to go do.
And they would get the fee and you'd be under salary. So this is all, I mean, the idea of it today, you know, let's face it, it's interesting that we sort of finally have this Me Too movement and people are speaking up, but there's Hollywood control and people in power controlling other people. It's been happening for a long time.
But I have to wonder, as you look back and as I think of how life goes, I grew up in the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. So the work ethic and everything I saw, the people I met were based on that thing. It didn't seem odd to me. But people not in that business, they look at it differently. Same thing with anything. You're sitting on Marilyn Monroe's lap as a child. You probably thought, what, nothing of it. It wasn't a big deal.
She was a friend of my parents living in my home. Therefore, she was just a person that was loving and caring. And so you don't think, I was 2.5 years old. You think, oh, I'm hanging out with Marilyn Monroe? Of course not. I'm hanging out with a woman who's being very caring, endearing, tickling me, giving me bubble baths, doing the kind of thing that playing with a young child in a household where she has her own car, had her own room, her own exit and entrance to the guest room, to the outside. She can come and go as she please. Yet Kitty and Clyde, my wonderful black couple that lived with us that took care of all our needs, Kitty was an amazing cook, and Marilyn loved her food, so they, you know, she'd order her own foods the way she wants them, and blah, 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 blah. It was all Southern-style great cooking. I mean, pure Americana all the way. But the idea that she had that freedom and she had a place to stay, she also had access to an apartment in New York that we had. At some point in 55, a friend had an apartment in the Carlisle Hotel where Marilyn stayed for 3 months during the summer. She was taking dance classes. She was getting a massage every week. She had money to go clothes shopping, which she did with my mother. And, you know, whatever she needed, money, comfort, training, actor studio, all that started during those New York years. She was introduced to a whole different world than the LA crowd. It was the New York jazz authors, writers, entertainers, a different vibe, you know, Sinatra, Sammy Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, Ella Fitzgerald. All those things started in New York and grew from there. So she felt happy, relaxed, respected, and cared for. And they went to, my father found a flaw in the contract when they first met, which is how this whole thing started, and basically said, come to New York, I'll cover everything you need. We found a couple of clauses and we're going to go after 20th and get you out of this contract. And it took a year and a half. And during that period, this is where all this, everybody hanging out, living together kind of thing happened. And at the end of that period, they knew what they wanted to do. Marilyn wanted to have control of her own career. And Milton wanted to go into directing and producing movies. Not uncommon for the path of a photographer and not uncommon for a path of an actor to be able to control what scripts, what directors, what projects they work on.
Although new for a female artist at that time, right?
Very few. I don't believe, it's a research I need to do, but I don't think there was a female who ran her own production company. I would say the closest, no, even Marlene Dietrich didn't have her own production company. She had the support of working with certain directors that gave her that role. So, yeah. But, you know, Burt Lancaster had his own production company.
Right.
A lot of the actors had their own rights. Anyway.
So what length of time was she there in your household? 2 years, year and a half?
She moved into the house in the beginning of 54 and lived in our domain, if you will, both New York, home, family, whatever, all the way through 55. And then she started dating Arthur Miller in spring or early 56. And then they eventually got married in July of 56. And at that point, she had, in 56, she bought an apartment in New York on 57th Street on the east side, which she kept. I think she kept it all the way through till she died. That's a factoid I don't remember, but definitely through their marriage, which ended in 59.
Did your dad have unlimited access studio time to photograph her during that time, or was it still a specific, well, we'll do this photo shoot for a specific magazine?
No, actually, it's a very good point. It's the opposite. Milton wanted to prove to her, he wanted to build her confidence in a way that she, as an actor, that she can really be this character actor that she wants to be. Because being the femme fatale blonde girl, you know, that kind of thing, which is what she's been typecasted for, is what she needed to get away from.
Right.
She wanted to be taken seriously. And so what Milton did is create these situations where he was trying to photograph her in a way that she saw herself being that role more so than being the glamorous movie star. That's why so few of Milton's pictures really are that style. They're more intimate portraits of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in matter of fact, 80% of the pictures were never done under assignment. You know, they were done, let's say 70% of the pictures were not done for in a particular magazine. A lot of the pictures appeared in magazines later on, or while they were their partnership, when they started the company, Marilyn Monroe Productions. But my father's role was also to study her, because he found that his job and responsibility was to be an aesthetic, to focus on the aesthetics of the situation and how she looked in the camera, which involves not only lighting, camera angle, makeup, it also involves neckline, clothing, style of clothes, how they fit her, what features her in the right light way. He also loved her personal wardrobe, which a lot of times you don't see as often. Jack's of Hollywood was a great place where women used to go to buy sort of the cool hip clothes. And my mom also was looking at her when they go shopping. Her point of view was, you don't need to be, don't make the clothes so tight. You don't always have to show off your figure.
Right.
I think there's another way to go sometimes. Elegance, loose hanging, cashmere, soft clothes, silk. There's other ways to still come off sexy, which opened up Marilyn to Pucci and other Italian designers and Givenchy and other people that made clothes for her that most people don't realize.
When you look at the photos here and being a photographer yourself and growing up with a famous photographer dad, how much of the mood and the energy of the subject comes through or changes with each particular photograph? I mean, because obviously, you know, we say, oh, I could see in her eyes, I could see in his eyes, I could see in, you know, the feeling. How much of that does play into it as well?
Marilyn had a great sense of humor, and so did my father.
Comes out in a lot, you can see in a lot
so
of pictures.
He'd push the thing like, yeah, go ahead, spill the glass, you know, with the wicker sitting, or with the ballerina, of course, which is a very famous group of pictures that everybody loves. The fact is that, you know, the clothes were too small when they were sent to the studio. They were too small, and she couldn't fit into the dress. but she was able to hold the frontispiece up, even though the dress was completely unzipped in the back. And he made it work. Hmm. And it's that the fact that he made it work in such a charming way that also makes her trust him.
Right.
And that develops their relationship. You can see right here. See? Hmm. So, and of course, everybody sees these, but don't realize that the whole back is completely open.
And of course, we're looking at the book here, folks. So you're going to have to go purchase the book if you want to find out what exactly we're talking about here.
And to put in a plug, you can buy it from us right here at the archives.
Oh, there
and
you
I'll
go.
Sign them and personalize them to you.
But we got this book.
We got this book. And this is the good stuff.
The good
stuff.
Sorry,
I should have done that.
That's all right.
Sorry.
But we do. We have this book and beautiful works of art in there. Just to wrap things up, you know, if you haven't seen this book, it's just amazing. Beautiful pictures. And folks could... get a look at it. Where can they get it again?
They can get it at the archives right here in Florence. We're on 2610 Kingwood Street. And my business manager, Sean Penrod, who many of you may know, longtime citizen of Florence, two generations of his family here, is there. And he can always work out anything you need. Or you can call ahead, 541-997-5331. Tell us that you want one, and if you want it personalized by me, you give me your name, and I'll be happy to do that for you. Whatever we can do to serve the greater good and share something that I'm very proud of. And you would be, if you like this subject matter, I think you'd be very pleased as well.
The book is The Essential Marilyn Monroe by Milton H. Green. And Joshua Green, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Ed, for what you're doing. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And, of course, if you'd like a copy of that book, you can bid on it this Friday, coming up on the radio auction. Right here on Coast Radio. Coming up next, Mayor Joe Henry going to talk about the state of the city.